At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host and friend of American greatness, and we're very pleased to welcome back from his travels Malcolm Hohnlein of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations to some challenging headlines. Times of Israel. Netanyahu apologizes for tragic mishap as backlash mounts over deadly Gaza hospital strike. Subheads: Trump, President Trump, says he is, quote, not happy to learn of the attack. IDF vows probe, but notes fighting taking place in complex space. Family publishes video showing soldier son's abduction. Malcolm, welcome. And what we have is increasing tension in the Gaza Strip. I believe the Israeli military is back in charge of the combat part of it. There's been questions for a week about supplies. The word famine is thrown around routinely. Now we have the hospital strike. What is the state of the war in Gaza? What is the expectation of how long this will take? Good evening.
Good evening to both of you. It's good to be back with you. And I come recharged with a lot of information, a lot of experiences. But you come back and a day later, the whole map has changed and new challenges appear. Obviously, the conflict in Gaza remains in the forefront for two reasons. One, the conflict, and two, the debate and the condemnation, universal condemnation almost, of Israel over the food issue and the quote, allegations of famine based upon completely fallacious reports, unfounded, which I'll talk about in a minute. But the security cabinet in Israel has authorized the plan to go after Gaza City, which is a completely different landscape than anything they've been touching before. But it's really essential. If we're going to bring an end to this war, end the killing, the sooner it's done, the less soldiers, the less civilians on all sides that will be hurt or killed in the fighting. Today, you see, because of the close proximity, and there was a strike near a hospital. And it's not because of the journalists who are allegedly killed in this, because we know that many of the journalists are, in fact, affiliated with all of the terrorist entities, including Hamas. And while they may wear the flak jackets of a media, we know that they have direct ties to terrorist entities. But we don't want them or anyone else to die. But as long as Hamas holds out, Hamas continues to fire, continues to engage in terrorist activities, and refuses to release the hostages, this conflict has to continue to come to some sort of an end. And I can tell you, there isn't an Arab leader who doesn't want Israel, as they say, to finish the job, because they know that this is a cancer, if allowed to remain, will metastasize and will come back to haunt everyone later. So Israel is now moving into this and asking people to move so that they are not victims. But, you know, at the same time, you can see pictures in Gaza City of ice cream parlors jammed with people eating ice cream, their stores full of food. And the accusations that have dominated the media over the last weeks, and particularly now, are really based on false assumptions, false reporting, and come from primarily Hamas sources, which are not sourced. The IPC, which is the agency charged with reporting this, has repeatedly been found to be in violation of the standards that are engaged in by everyone that tries to look at the aid thing. It's called the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, which is 25 global partners supposedly involved. But they have previously confirmed the famine in other crises, but they changed the criteria for this. And the reality tells a different story. Over 100,000 trucks of aid entered Gaza since the war began. The markets are stocked. Food prices are falling, which is an indication of it. And the pictures they show of children dying, supposedly of starvation, are all children who have suffered from various diseases, not malnutrition, which has caused them to be sick or even to die. Some of them have been taken abroad for treatment, but it was not successful. And if you look at the sources, it constantly comes back to the Gaza Health Ministry, which never records a terrorist death, which never records the death of anybody else, of any of the normal course of death that would occur in a population of 2 million people. So Israel is taking a very heavy hit, admittedly, in public relations because of the aid issue and the supposed famine. You know, when just since 10,000 aid trucks entered Gaza since May, in addition to that, thousands of boxes have been dropped from the air and 2.5 million family food parcels were handed out weekly. So you look at the people posting it on Snapchat, they're not starving or starvation. They take out the pictures of those who don't look like they're victimized. So people should not jump to conclusions. Our facts are quite different than the way it's being portrayed.
That is, you have a question for Malcolm.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Speaking of cancerous individuals, Malcolm, the Iranian regime and their cohorts, the Houthis, are still back at it despite recent developments, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you know, people don't understand what the nature. The Houthis could only fire as long as they get the equipment and the weapons from Iran, which and they target civilian areas in Israel. They fired a new ballistic missile, which has a cluster bomb warhead, meaning that it has multiple explosives and then disintegrates when it enters the airspace and spreads those weapons, those bombs, among civilian and targets and other facilities, including electricity, water, etc. And they acknowledge, they themselves say that this is the what their aim is. And Israel had to respond for this one because of the nature of introducing this new weapon. And they attacked the presidential palace and other sites, military sites, including the oil storage and a power supply, seeking to avoid civilian casualties in Yemen. It's a very difficult fight. It had required multiple refuelings. I think 12 aircraft at least were involved in that. And they, you know, that they had to refuel repeatedly. But I think that the course of these rockets fired by the Houthis, not only against shipping in the Red Sea, but directly targeting Israel's civilian population, becomes intolerable. People are woken up night after night, and it is a heavy burden on Israel, not for the destruction, because thank God they take them out. But this is Iran's front line today. They are trying to rebuild their ties with Hezbollah. They are trying to rebuild somewhat Hamas, but it's much more difficult. But they have reached out. And if you saw, Veliati went to Iran to visit with the Iraqis, and to they are escalating their claims. The IRGC Chief General said that they are going to bomb the U.S. capitals. They can reach New York. They're going to fire them from not 10,000 kilometers, but we bring our ships within 2,000 kilometers and strike Washington, New York, and other cities with our missiles. And we have seen that the embassies of the U.K., Switzerland, Germany, and Tehran over the last 24 hours have temporarily shut their operations, and we have not seen an explanation. One of the things that people should note is the water level in three of the major dams has dropped to 0%. And in 10 others, it's at a 10% or less. The drought is continuing. The government is doing nothing to meet the needs of the people. Water is rationed. Electricity is rationed. They are warning that Israel is planning another attack. This is a way of diverting attention. But there is some belief that they are trying to rebuild both their nuclear and missile program. They are trying to get out of the U.S. sanctions regime, but there's no chance of that, I think, given their behavior now. They so Iran is still as boisterous and as dangerous as before, and which is why you cannot let Hamas exist. You cannot let the Houthis continue unabated with these activities.
Quickly, Malcolm, the Palestinian Authority, a number of countries keep coming out saying they're going to recognize the PA. What is the effect of that? I know it's public relations, but what does it look like on the ground?
It is public relations, but it's much more. It really creates reality that is not possible to exist. You can't just declare a state when there's no entity that that represents it. And the PA is increasingly a human slaughterhouse. If you read their record of the treatment of their own people, et cetera, you see that they're not prepared to exercise reasonable authority. And that the Arab League, by the way, came out with an amazing statement that, again, almost gets no attention, but where they declared that the for the first time, unanimously calling for Hamas to lay down its weapons, release the hostages, end its rule in Gaza. They endorsed, was endorsed by the 22 members of the Arab League. And the statement came at a UN conference in New York. But you notice nobody reports on it because they recognize the danger posed by Iran, by its continued assistance to its allies.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Malcolm, regarding Lebanon, what do you make of the reports that Hezbollah is disarming? Are those accurate?
It's not Hezbollah disarming, it's Hezbollah being disarmed. We had Tom Barak, the special envoy for Syria and Lebanon, and Morgan Ortega, the special envoy for Lebanon, were in Israel this week. They met with officials there to talk to them about the developments in Syria and Lebanon, and they are working to advance the possibility of Lebanon government dismantling Hezbollah. So Lebanese government is trying to assert itself to take control of the weapons. They've gone to the Palestinian camps and started collecting the weapons. And if they really achieve something in terms of disarming it, Israel would be expected to take certain steps as well to let the Lebanese officials take the lead. But the disarmament process has begun. There's a lot of resistance to it. But, you know, the Palestinians long hosted Fatah, Hamas, Bij, and other armed militias and terrorist groups, and they use Lebanon as a staging ground against Israel. If the government is able actually to exercise control, Israel will assist them. Israel will help them. They want a buffer zone. And the Lebanese cabinet approved by a vote in August to remove Hezbollah's arms with an open-ended timeline. So the angry response of Hezbollah, which they said it would be suicide, et cetera. We choose death over handing our weapons. But I think if the international community, led by the United States, with Israel, with everybody, really gets together, we could see a serious change in the situation in Lebanon.
Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host. When we come back, railroading. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.